This is Scott Burguin of KSOW in Cottage Grove, and we are checking back in with Linda and Phil Waste of Military Families Speak Out. They're freshly back from Washington, D.C., back home, and we get to talk to them here early this morning. How you doing, Linda and Phil?
Good morning. We're doing pretty good.
Good morning, Scott.
And, I don't know how fresh we are, but we're home.
Okay. You are home for the first time in a long time, right?
Yes, over a month.
Over a month. Wow. And home is?
Shellman Bluff, Georgia, for the time being.
Shellman Bluff, Georgia. Okay. And that's basically because it's close to a base that one of your sons
is. Yes, close to Fort Stewart.
Fort Stewart, okay. Well, it's been quite a month, hasn't it?
And yes, it has.
I know we want to hear everything that you have to say about your experience in Washington, D.C., and I know that there's the march. We've heard a little bit about that from some folks, and then there's yesterday, Sunday. Yesterday wasn't Sunday. Yesterday was Monday.
We lose track, too.
Yes, we know out here anyway, out in the West Coast, we know little about, and that's the actions that took place yesterday. So why don't you just begin where you want to begin, what you feel is important or you want to share with folks.
Okay. Phil, you want to start?
Linda and I are both kind of gimpy, so we decided early on that we weren't going to get in the march on Saturday, that we'd be at the start and we'd be at the finish, and we volunteered to take care of the merchandise and the tent, where we had t-shirts and pins and so on to mm-hmm. raise funds for our trip. Mm-hmm. And while there, it was pretty close to the sound stage, where Joan Baez sang, and they had a lot of speakers we could hear in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of speakers showed up. They gave their talks and got people all excited, getting ready for the march.
Mm-hmm. Oh, speeches before the march.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, on the Ellipse. There was a sound stage there also, where there were many speakers. And the hard thing for us was we were somewhat far away from there, but we could hear Galloway in the background. We could hear an awful lot of the speakers speaking, just barely.
Mm-hmm.
We could hear them emphasizing things, but that made it a little difficult. But it was such an incredible presence there. The way the crowds grew, it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
There's been various estimates. You remember the Million Man March?
Right.
We've talked to local people there, and they said this was second only to the Million Man March.
Mm.
There's been various estimates from 100,000 to 500,000.
Well, Barbara Boxer told one of the gals that that we were second to the Million Man March, and that if she had to guesstimate, I believe it was Barbara Boxer told her this, that it was over a million. So, but you know how that is. If 100,000 show up, they say it's 1,000. So
right.
That's pretty typical.
So it it felt huge.
It was incredible.
Well, the parade went from the Ellipse. The Ellipse is an area in front of the White House. It's right in the front yard. As you stand there, you're looking right at the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And in George's front yard.
George's
and,
front yard.
Cindy stood in his front yard in Crawford. We all stood in his front yard in Washington, D.C. And they took off marching. And it snaked around the city, around the White House. And had this long route. That's why we didn't participate. But it actually, people were arriving back before the last of them left to go on the march. It actually came back on its own tail.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're talking hundreds of thousands of people.
And I believe the route wasn't it at least a couple miles?
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was. And it was just wall-to-wall people against this war. People with the common theme of bring them home now and take care of them when they get here. It was amazing.
Mm. And you had a front row seat then, didn't you? Or at least the front row of the beginning and the tail.
Yes, we did. It was quite impressive. And
we went out for a while and sat on a park bench right alongside of the road. And we were standing there watching these people, and Salon interviewed us. And I did read on their website the interview. It's a pretty good interview.
Who did you say that was?
Salon.
Salon.com? Okay, right.
And that was really interesting, though. It was the amount of people. I don't think I've ever been in a crowd like that. It was phenomenal. It was such an honor to be there. And I'm trying to think. Let's see, that was Saturday. I'm trying to remember what we did on Sunday. Oh, we had our big MFSO meeting. I know, you know, one day runs into the other.
Right.
We've been on a trip like this.
Yes.
And, of course, we're trying to figure out the things where we need to go next.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's an important thing to be looking out for. And we will keep people posted.
Yeah.
And we are going to stay heavily involved. But yesterday was very interesting, too. It was the day of civil disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
And there was quite a large crowd. We marched from the Ellipse around to the other side of the White House to Lafayette Park. And it was quite a march. It was, for us, it was a ways to go, but it was so important for us to do that. Having missed the big march, we really wanted to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, we got there, and of course there was the civil disobedience. There were a few speeches, but it's amazing to me. I've never really witnessed anything of that size and how it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad I was there.
Yeah.
They arrested Cindy first, but you know, they warn you, anyone stepping onto the sidewalk will be arrested. So all of us kind of inched as close as we could get to the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, mind you, this is outside the White House fence, the big iron grill with all of the Secret Service inside with their dogs and weapons. This is a sidewalk, an actual sidewalk in America, outside someone's home, outside the fence, the security fence.
Right. So
there was no security problem at all.
So what was the reason they were given for having to leave, that they didn't have a permit to be there or something?
They stopped on the sidewalk. That's what's against the law.
But there was no permit for the gathering. That's how that works. And everyone hung the signs, small signs of the names of the dead from this war on the post, and then proceeded to sit down. There were a number of tents that said Camp Casey on them, small tents that were set up, and people sat down in them. It was just, wow.
There were, when we left the Ellipse, half the group went to the right and half to the left. And so we approached the side of the Lafayette Park of the White House from both sides. And
essentially surrounding it.
So I would estimate, just from the crowds that went either way, that there had to be 4,000 or 5,000 people there at least, very least.
Right, and that's yesterday, Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
And it could have been a larger number. And the people, we had to leave at about 4 o'clock because we had a plane to catch at 7.
Mm-hmm.
And they were still arresting people. It was hundreds of people that got arrested.
Really?
Well, they took their time. And the latest number we saw was around 400, just under 400, but we're not sure what the final was.
Mm.
But they, we had a plane to catch, or we would have been sitting ourselves down on that sidewalk, too.
Oh, really? You're heading that direction, huh?
yeah. I'm about 300 pounds, and that would have been kind of funny to watch them try to lift up a handicap 400-pound or 300-pounder.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I wear XXX large.
Cindy was the first one arrested, of course. You know all the cheers, and I'm assuming most people have seen the pictures of
her. Right. In fact, it looks like she got a big smile on her face.
Yeah.
So it sounds like it was pretty, it was civil disobedience and people getting arrested, but it doesn't sound like there was a whole lot of tension in the crowd. It was.
There wasn't. It was all, you know, everyone knew what they were doing and knew why they were doing it, and it was a peaceful march also.
Mm-hmm.
And the police stayed calm also.
They did. Of course, they came in on their horses, you know, kind of going through the crowd on their horses and separating them. And I guess they gave us about 3 warnings, actually, to step back or we would be arrested. So we all stepped behind the blockade they had set up there. Mm-hmm. It was quite interesting. Next time I intend to be a part of that.
My voice is nearly gone. I did a lot of yelling yesterday. It was pretty exciting.
One thing that was really exceptional. Yesterday morning in our hotel, we walked up to an older gentleman in uniform to ask him a question about something we'd heard from our son. And this man works for a top-ranking general at the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just incredible the things that have been indicated to us this week.
Mm.
He said that there was a lack of leadership in Iraq. And we pressed him a little further, and he said, you know, we could talk for an hour and we'd be in agreement, but I'm in uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of ended the conversation there, but he is an aide to one of the top generals, and from what he has said, from what the senators have told us, from a lot of little bits and pieces we've picked up along the way while we were in D.C., the tide is turning.
Hmm. So, well, say more about that if you can. I mean, just in terms of, do you feel like the tide is turning? We know the tide is turning, I believe it's turning in our country in terms of more and more people are getting against this war, but I get a sense that he was indicating that the tide is turning in Iraq in terms of, I'm not sure what that would mean in terms of our troops.
What they're referring to is, from their own involvement, is the lack of leadership, the division over the Constitution.
Right.
Their constitutional referendum will be coming up, I believe it's the 15th of October. And my own feeling from what they're saying, and this has not been said to me in so many words, is that a full out-and-out civil war is expected.
Right. Well, there's already reports of that it's happening, but it's kind of under the surface, I guess, or not. It's really not that under the surface. Well, there's the person, one of the people that you mentioned that spoke, George Galloway.
Yes.
And he can say it in a very articulate and forceful way, but what rings in my head is his quote that I heard on a radio interview. He said that the Iraqi Constitution will not be a footnote of a footnote in Iraqi history.
Mm.
And when you think of the fact that it's a government that was set up by the occupation, constitution that has elements in it that are, we wouldn't want in our constitution. Basically, it doesn't seem like it has much hope. But of course, that's the thing they're hanging on in terms of.
I think our present administration is feeling the pressure so mightily. Just being in Washington and hearing people talk, that people are saying that he's wishing he had an easy way out right now.
Right.
And I am. What scares the death out of me is, how are they going to deal with our troops, and what are they going to do? How soon are they going to pull them out? Are they going to leave them there to be a part of this civil war?
Here's the problem, Scott.
Yeah.
We saw this. We have an example of it in Vietnam. At about 20,000 dead, our government realized that they had to get out of Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And it took them 38,000 more dead before they finally did it,
right,
looking for this saving face strategy.
Right.
And our job is to tell this Bush administration, you know, hey, we're not going to let you save face. Get the hell out now.
Right.
We want the troops home now. We don't need an exit strategy. We don't need anything. We just need to pull out now. And there's no reason we can't put them on the planes, back the 7th Fleet up to Kuwait, march them on.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of ways we can get them home. We have far too few troops there. They had over 500,000 in Vietnam, and it was costing $5.1 billion a month. Here, we're spending $5.6 billion a month, and we only have about 120,000 to 130,000 troops on the ground.
Right.
We could move that many troops in 24 hours. There's nothing strategic about Baghdad. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to stay there. We can bring the troops home now.
Well, you've hit on that thing that I think that's still the issue for a lot of people in Vietnam is they like to claim they those that do those things, you know.
Right,
you know who
about.
Them theys are. Yes, they that it's you know, they would claim that they saved face, you know, that we had a honorable retreat or whatever, withdrawal. And really it was
an American citizen that doesn't realize the truth.
Yes, and this is similar. I think most of us would, of course, what we would ideally like is that the Bush administration basically takes responsibility for the errors of their ways and comes clean with everybody. Well, that is probably the chances of that happening. I'm going to win the lottery a few times before that happens.
But, well, you got that right.
But, I mean, obviously, then the practical thing is, I mean, sure, say whatever you want, but get them out of there.
Exactly. And from this whole experience, from our first day in Crawford to our last day in Washington, D.C., I can hear it and feel it from across the nation, how people are changing their minds. Mm-hmm. Those who have been for this war are slowly turning against this war, and Cindy seemed to be the catalyst for that. The peace mm-hmm. movement, of course, had been going, but she ignited it.
Sure, oh, definitely. Yeah.
More and more people have jumped on board, and then as we cross the country and talk to more and more people, it amazed me the lack of support this war now has and that George Bush has from all sides.
Right.
And being in Washington, I have to say that I do have some hope that this will be over sooner than later.
Mm-hmm.
I question our administration's ability to face the facts and end it in a timely manner. That's yeah. what worries me.
We have to keep the pressure on.
Hey,
Scott,
right.
We were on the plane yesterday on the way home, and we left, I believe it was
Charlotte, North Carolina,
on a plane to Savannah, and there had to be at least 50 or 60 Marine recruits aboard.
Mm-hmm.
And they come up to Linda, and they handed Linda their letters home, their last letters home before they hit boot camp, and asked her to mail them. We had on our Bring Them Home Now t-shirts, you know, with the peace symbol and
mm-hmm.
with the Support the Troop yellow ribbon on it. And, of course, they read those
mm-hmm.
and saw that we were members of Military Family Speak Out. And we told them a little bit about where we were and what we were doing and that we're trying to keep them from going over to Iraq. And, boy, were they receptive to that.
They were all supportive. Here are these groups of going into the Marines that you would think would be adamantly against what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Not so. Saw Phil's hat that says Army Dad and walked up, and the first one of, I can see your Army parents, and I really need these letters mailed home. Would you please mail these for me? And that was just, to us, it said an awful lot.
Yes. So these are young people heading for boot camp?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, to Paris Island.
Right, right. Oh,
Marine
boy.
Boot camp.
Oh, man. Well, I keep reflecting back on what you said about the Vietnam War, and I remember the story from the perspective of someone covering Henry Kissinger's part in all of this over the years, and how they basically had a peace agreement right before the, am I going to get my years right here, right before the, I guess it'd be the 68 election, I'm not really sure. Yeah, 68.
I think that is correct.
And Kissinger was working both sides. He was working for the Johnson team in Paris at the negotiations, and then or the administration team. That wouldn't be Johnson at that point. I'm confused.
He hadn't got in there yet.
But he was. But then he was phoning the Nixon people. So it was whatever election, the first one that Nixon won.
Right.
And the Nixon people said basically, no, we don't want a peace agreement. You know, then Humphrey will win. And they basically held off for political reasons, and then we know what happened.
Isn't that just the most offensive thing?
That's one of the biggest things that people claim, that Henry Kissinger is really should be called a war criminal because that's, you know, they had the same agreement, basically, when they finally got the peace agreement in 73, 74, it was the same thing, basically.
Yeah, let all those young men and women die.
Yeah, not to mention another million or so.
It's astounding to me that they call this politics and it's business as usual.
Right, right. Playing with lives.
Yes. But it's funny how it's never their son's lives.
Ah, isn't that? Well, it isn't funny, is it?
And, no.
No, not that funny.
Do you have any recent word from your son that's in
Yes,
Baghdad?
we talked to his fiance. We called her a couple of days ago, and she had just received some word from him, and he was going to be out of touch for about 2 or 3 weeks on a mission, but wanted to get word home that he was okay.
Oh, good. And he has reminded us, how much more time does he have if he...
He is due to return, actually, he's due to return in January, but we just read somewhere a couple days ago.
Yeah, Phil I read it on Army Times, the third ID's extended 10 to 14 more days.
Huh.
No, not 10 to 14 more days. I thought it was 2 more months.
10 to 14 more days, dear.
Oh, okay, my mistake.
10 to 14 days too many.
Yeah, yeah. But they're concerned about the elections, of course, is what's going on.
And, right, right.
Then his brother will be there before he comes home.
Hmm.
So he comes home the end of January or mid-February, and his brother will be going over there in November.
Hmm.
It's been a long, long couple of years for us.
Yes, yes.
Certainly has.
Well, obviously the sense is palpable from the two of you of the personal, the very personal, not just the political, but the personal need for this war to end. And my heart goes out to you for a lot of reasons, and I think about your being in the power center over the last few days.
Yeah.
Of our country, and I don't know if I could take it, because every time I would hear somebody like a political leader say something like, we need a phased withdrawal over time, and we can't leave the Iraqis, we have to, you know, blah, 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 it would just, being a person who doesn't have a loved one there, it would drive me up the wall, and it's got to be very difficult.
That part of it is, and I do have to say, when we were at the Black Caucus, okay, I'm trying to remember who was speaking at
Wesley
the time.
Clark.
Oh, Phil, when he said he was leaving, Phil started clapping before.
Immediately.
You know, for saying we needed to, what were the words he used this time? Gosh, I heard so many. Exit strategy, regional dialogue, mm-hmm. de-escalation, and Phil very loudly clapped, and people were kind of, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
It gets pretty old, you know, when you're sitting on this side of it.
Another thing, when Wesley Clark was speaking and he ended, and that occurred, not only angered myself, but Cindy Sheehan was a bit peeved about it.
Mm-hmm.
He started to stand up. Boy, he exited from the stage immediately.
Yeah,
he disappeared like, where'd he go?
Right. Well, that's there's still way too much of that coming from the so-called opposition party in this situation.
Well, there's a new movement afoot. It's nonpartisan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm part of it. I think a lot of the people that demonstrated are part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to vote. We're tired of voting against people.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to vote for those that come out against the war.
Right.
And we've been telling all those in Washington, whether it be congressmen or senators or even staffers,
mm-hmm.
That we're going to do this. We're going to vote for the person that comes out against the war. If they don't, they're not going to get a single vote from us.
Right. Well, obviously, especially those that are, I mean, there are some congressional leaders and even senators that have been clear thinking and against this war right from the beginning, which is one of the things that baffles you when some say, well, the intelligence we were getting said that we, you know, I needed to support the president in this. But then, you know, just down the hall from them is somebody who apparently got different intelligence or something, who knew right away that this was a scam.
That it was all a scam. But
right.
yet those people who say they were against it, they are still voting for the funding for
right,
it.
Right, right, right. So
and
this
that's what has to stop.
I think you're right. It has to be nonpartisan. And they have to know that. They have to know that it should be the number one issue in my mind, but this is the issue, and that they better get their act together if they want to continue serving.
Do the right thing.
We were in the Senate office building, and we were getting our lunch down in the basement down there where they all eat and congregate, and the lady working the register saw our shirts and expressed sympathy and support for us. She said, I voted Republican. I voted for him. She says, but what he's done to this country and the way he's acting now, she says, I'm with you guys. We have to, and he's expletive deleted here. Mm-hmm. Get him out of here.
Right.
He's destroying the country.
Well, it'll be interesting to see who his party puts up. And my guess is that person will be someone who will be talking in this gradualism kind of thing, you know, where we need to stay the course, but, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel kind of thing. as opposed to, we got to go get them as hardcore as this administration's been. But it'll be, you know, it'll all be playing to the American people to try to get us to, I think, really to try to pull the wool over our eyes some more.
Oh, absolutely.
The Black Caucus is unified, it seems. Yeah. So they're adamantly against this, and they're working hard.
And labor unions, AFL-CIO came out against this war.
Right.
Many city councils, Pennsylvania and elsewhere, are coming out against this war. It's building, and it's building strong, and it's with a lot of people that aren't going to take any bull and be put off.
Right, right. Oh, very good. Well, so on a more personal note, what are the plans for Linda and Phil, or Felinda, I should say?
Well, I think we're going to go sailing for a couple days, anchor out, and leave the phones at home.
good idea.
And then we're heading to Germany to see our youngest son before he returns to Iraq.
Very good.
So,
and our new grandson.
And our new grandbaby.
Mm.
So it's and then when we get back, we will be throwing ourselves into it completely and fully to get done what needs to be done.
And don't hold me to this, but there's talk about a Western bus tour.
Okay, well, I think it's important.
We do too, and that was mentioned at our meeting.
Right, I think I said to someone else, I think it's important and we should do it but those of us out here should be... it's our responsibility. It needs a focus. Obviously, there's a focus, the war and bring them home. But it needs to be a focus that pushes us all in the direction of starting to speak to or continue to speak to the folks that we're not normally speaking to.
Yes.
As opposed to a celebratory tour of all the wonderful things that have been done so far.
Exactly. It has to keep going. We have to keep the momentum. And I would say to you and others that are listening to send emails to the different organizations, send emails to Military Family Speak Out, that's mfso.org, and tell them that you want them to come, that you want it to keep going, you want to hear what people have to say.
Right.
And on the other hand, don't send emails to your congressmen and senators. You make appointments at their office.
Go in to see them.
And even if you have to talk to the staffers, you can't always talk to the senator or congressman, but you can talk to their staffers and ask them to take notes and pass them on to the senator or congressman. But you need a face-to-face. They need to see a people. They hit the delete button on the emails.
Right.
I mean, they just don't even count. And I don't even think they bother to read the letters because they send you a form letter back.
Right.
There's face-to-face is the only way to do it.
Right. Very good. I agree with you. And that's a good way to end this conversation. I think we're actually pushing right up to a half an hour.
Good deal.
I guess I kind of expected that because we had a lot to talk about. And certainly we could keep talking.
I sure want to thank you, Scott, for your having us on.
Hey, I appreciate your openness to and continued openness to share with us on many levels. It's been a very enriching experience for me. And
well, for us also, but what you are doing in the interviews you're doing with everyone, they're so important. You are playing such an important part here. And we thank you.
Oh, Linda, Linda, Linda. You've got to bring me to tears here at the... Well, there's no semblance of professionalism here on my part, so it doesn't really matter, I guess. Thank you all for everything, and I do look forward to talking to you again, and have a great sailing trip. You so deserve it.
Thank you. Thank you, and we'll keep you posted on what we're doing.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.